wreaking havoc on America, just like they wreaked havoc on Wisconsin. Dom and Kreutz are the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we got my congressman live via phone. He's our friend Mark Pocan. We welcome him back right now. Mark, welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Mark.
Mark, you are probably the most popular politician on progressive radio, man, and we love you for it. Got to ask you, Mark, the resistance to a January 6th commission, it's befuddling the Republicans take this as a public stance. They don't want the truth. Mark, what has been your reaction to, you know, Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell and the fact that Republicans don't want a bipartisan commission?
Well, this is, you know, a continuation of the problem I think I've talked with you guys before about is the Republican Party. You know, it's really not a political party of any consequence or consistency right now. They don't know what they are, if they're still the Trump cult, which they kind of seem like, but they're also Q, they're also Tea Party, they're also some more traditional conservatives. And because they don't know what they are, you know, they're still largely letting Donald Trump pull the strings from Mar-a-Lago. And this, you know, obviously would be devastating to Donald Trump to have it exposed how much he was involved with this. So each and every Republican will do what they're told, and they won't, you know, we'll get some Republicans. Let me rephrase that. Some will join us on creating this because it is done in a very fair bipartisan way. But, you know, for Republican leadership, you know, they're afraid of Donald Trump. Look what happened to Liz Cheney. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, they're still brewing Kool-Aid at the cult.
Mark, why do we need Republicans for this investigation? They certainly, to the best of my memory, didn't bring any Democrats along when they did numerous Benghazi hearings, sir.
Yeah, well, no question. And that was ridiculous. I was around on the Oversight and Government Reform Committee at the time during Benghazi and saw all the, you know, firsthand all the circus that was going on. But, you know, ideally you would do this in a bipartisan way so that you could prove as a unified country that, you know, we're able to get beyond this. We're able to hold people accountable. But, you know, the problem is the Republican Party, again, isn't being serious as another political party. They're still doing whatever Donald Trump wants. And you know, we're going to attempt to do this. And if they somehow block it along the way in the Senate or somewhere else, I'm sure we'll still find other ways to do this. We've been told committees are still welcome to do the oversight that they will within their jurisdictions. But, you know, ideally you would have Democrats and Republicans together saying, you know, this is what happened. And I just don't know if the Republican Party is adult enough these days to do that.
Mark, we've got 425 defendants and counting insurrectionists that stormed the Capitol on January 6th. Do you think the public trials, and eventually we're going to start seeing convictions probably pled out first and then the longer trial phase in many other cases. But, Mark, do you think that will have any persuasive effect on the American people who are still hearing on Fox News and whitey-righty talk radio each and every day? Well, these were the patriots. These were the good people. And they're being persecuted. I think Glenn Grothman said and others. I mean, it's ridiculous, the claims being made, Mark. Where do we stand?
You know, this is what I find pretty amazing is that, you know, people will believe whatever they're told along these current, you know, lines of division we have on the Republican side. So, you know, if you say clearly that a white egg is black, you will have a substantial number of people actually argue that that egg is black, despite the fact that right in front of them, you can see it is clearly a white egg. And we're watching this across the board. I mean, I experienced it recently with a Milwaukee radio guy who was last night tweeting that I haven't been in Washington, D.C. for the last 8 months. And I don't know. If you ask Delta, I've been here quite a bit. If you ask my office, you ask the Republican colleagues from Wisconsin, and yet they still can't admit they're wrong, and they still put the lie out there. And then when, you know, some of their followers respond back, well, he never said 8 months, and then I include the exact tweet. Like, they just believe what they're told. And it's such a passive way through life, but apparently – You know, in a cult, that's what you do. And it truly is a cult these days.
Well, Mark, if you reference Dan O'Donnell, as he's affectionately known near Madison, Clan O'Donnell, well, don't forget, he sent his in-laws out to the insurrection in D.C. on January 6th. He's, you know, got a little self-interest, a little vested interest, and sort of portraying the events of that day.
Yeah, well, I mean, also, I don't know who the hell he is to begin with. All I know is he's got a radio show. Supposedly it's on another station in Madison as well. But when you put something out there, I thought it would be pretty simple and just say, hey, look, buddy, I'm in Madison right now. And then luckily our friend Randy Bryce had a photo of me on Twitter that day petting another member's dog on the Capitol steps. Like, you know, so I can, here I am trying to prove to some idiot that I'm actually in Washington when, if you follow my Facebook or Twitter, I clearly am. And yet I was just amazed to watch, you know, again, the big lie. They can't ever tell the truth. It must be like, you know, Trump must come and, you know, take away a bag of Cheetos from your cabinet if you tell the truth. So, you know, they're all doing whatever they're told to by the guy. And, you know, it was really rather surprising to see them continue to double, triple, quadruple down on you know, lies and ignorance. But, you know, we're watching it here with, like you said, Republican members of Congress who won't even admit what they said on tape on January 6th, what they said on TV to their local media. Now they have a different story, and yet, you know, they're just pretending as if that video didn't exist.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Congressman Mark Pocan joining us on the phone. Mark, thank you for doing so. A pleasure once again. The statement made today by Mitch McConnell implied to me that, you know, as you mentioned, some of these other committees could investigate. Are the January 6th insurrection, Mark, are other committees in current investigation mode right now investigating the insurrection, to your knowledge?
Well, the difficulty, and Mitch McConnell knows this, is, you know, committees have jurisdiction that they have to stick to. So, you know, oversight and government reform probably has a little looser jurisdiction, but, you know, like, I'm on the Appropriations Committee. We don't do tax law. That's Ways and Means. We don't do, you know, oversight of, you know, healthcare, because that's Energy and Commerce. And so you can do it, but it'd be very disjointed. And it wouldn't serve the same purpose, which is to collect all this information in one report that can be clear and understood by the American people about what happened. So it is a true disservice to say that that is the best way to proceed.
And I totally get that. It would be nice to have, you know, a bipartisan commission set up to do this. But my impression was that this is already ongoing and happening, Mark. And if it is, that's great. I'm not clear where it would be happening. And if it's not, then what? No one's investigating the circumstances right now, Mark?
Yeah, no, I mean, there is. But again, you can only do it in certain pieces via the committee process. Why? This is why you want to have a bipartisan commission. You want to give it the credibility of an evenly split commission. We don't have many committees like that are exactly split between Democrats and Republicans. So, I mean, everything we've tried to do is to make this fair, and yet the problem is we've made the assumption they want fair. They don't. And but we're going to pass it in the House today. Hopefully the Senate will take it up and do the same. And if not, we're going to have to figure out a plan B, because we can't just let nothing happen in a more comprehensive way.
Yeah. Mark, also in the same vein of the big lie, the goings on in Arizona right now in Maricopa County, the cyber ninjas, the Trump QAnon supporting owned organization that's never audited an election before, is starting to get some blowback from, you know, the county Republicans. Do you sense, Mark, with your Republican colleagues in Congress, that they're starting to peel off a little bit and shy away from some of these obvious and now apparently understanding dangers of the path that they are bringing us down?
Unfortunately, with few exceptions, you know, Adam Kingsinger and a few others, no, they're continuing whatever big lie the big orange guy tells us is what they're doing, and that is it, unfortunately. And you know, that's why the good news, I guess, to that is the Senate Democrats are very unified around trying to make sure that people can vote without having interference in all these state laws, including attempts in Wisconsin to make it harder for people to vote, is unifying actually the Senate Democrats even more, even people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. And if there ever is an effort that might get around the filibuster, it could be around this, because it is in the DNA of enough of the Senate Democrats to get this done correctly.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our fine guest, my Congressman, Mark Pocan. He's a good friend of ours. We appreciate you coming around, Mark. You know, one other, just kind of leaping back for just a moment, Mark, you talk about the big lie and the laws that Republicans would put forth to try and change the outcome of the last election, or perhaps suppress enough votes to change the outcome of future elections. Well, I would point out the same guy tagging you on Twitter, Mark, was the invited guest of Wisconsin Republicans to give testimony. Clan O'Donnell gave special invitation-only testimony to the assembly hearing in the state of Wisconsin on voting irregularities, where guys like me weren't allowed to give testimony, Mark. And they're still advancing the big lie and the justification to try and change laws. And the only thing that will stop that from happening continuously here is currently we got a Democratic governor. The last guy would have signed anything into law, Mark, and often did.
Right. No question. And our Wisconsin Republicans have been equally irresponsible. And, you know, you're right. I mean, the good news, I believe, is Tony Evers and Karen Timberlake and his administration have done an amazing job in getting vaccines out. I think with the highest rate, or one of the very highest rates of amount of vaccine and getting shots in people's arms in the country. And, you know, I think he's done a really good job as governor. And because of that, I think he's going to be in good shape. So far, it seems to be the BC team, you know, that's looking at running against him. But that's how important it is, because if you let the legislature move ahead and do these laws to disenfranchise voters and to, you know, not take some of this federal money, it would really have a very negative impact on Wisconsin and our economy.
Well, I saw the governor of the state of Wisconsin this morning, and, you know, he was crowing a little bit about the vaccination rollout. And here in Dane County, Mark, and that's where you serve and I live, Dane County is the highest vaccination rate of any large metropolitan county in the nation, Mark. So we're doing something right here. But I noticed in D.C. just today there was, what, some sort of anti-masker protest on the House floor. Marjorie Taylor Greene and the ilk, they all took off their masks and they defied the House leadership, Nancy Pelosi, and they took some selfies. And apparently they perceived the $500 fine to be the best money they could spend, Mark. Well, I'd have other purposes. But I cannot believe that we have Republican Congress people in protest failing to listen to leadership or wear masks. Mark, how do you advance that if you can't get Republicans to back up or wear masks on the floor?
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, that was the Larry, Curly, and Moe of the Republican caucus, right? Those doing that. It was not exactly like, you know, the best and the brightest. It was our, you know, our friends Marjorie Taylor Greene and others who was doing this. So that, I think that's just important to note. But you're right. I mean, I still have, I think, 95 Republicans, last I heard a few weeks ago, in the House have not gotten a vaccine yet. And, you know, the good news is, again, real people around the country are getting vaccinated. It's only in places like Madison and Washington, D.C., where, you know, they think somehow they get closer to Donald Trump, the crazier they behave, that this kind of rhetoric is so ingrained. But, you know, for the most part, I think people are like, if I get a shot, I can hug my grandkids, or I can, you know, read Donald Trump's blog. And I think the grandkids might be winning in real places.
Mark Pocan, my fine congressman, I understand you got one more segment for us. We're going to take you up on it, Mark. Come back. More Devil's Advocates and the finest of guests, Mark Pocan.
A And Republicans done something remarkable.
He believes in nothing.
He believes in nothing, Lebowski, nothing.
The devil's advocates, because freedom.
We'll turn it up, man.
Freedom!
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Congressman Mark Pocan from the great state of Wisconsin sticking around for another segment. Mark, thank you for doing so. The fight for 15, apparently some employees at the McDonald's Corporation out on strike today. And we have Republicans around the country, including here in the state of Wisconsin, trying to roll back the extra $300 a week in unemployment benefit for those who are still recovering from the effects of the pandemic here in this country. Mark, I see these things as tied together. I did see another tweet out from you today, sir. An employer raised wages to $15 an hour and got a bunch of resumes. It was really weird how supply and demand works, Mark. I thought the Republicans were down for business and understand economics. Apparently, they don't. Mark, what's your take?
This is classic Republicans, trying to, again, blame people who need assistance right now, who've lost a job but no fault of their own, especially Wisconsin's Republican delegation, who all makes $174,000 a year in Congress. Telling poor people that they're okay now. Don't worry, you don't need any extra assistance. I serve on the Joint Economic Committee, which is a House Senate, one of the four statutory committees we have that looks at our nation's economic future. We have all these economists that talk to us weekly. And what we've been told is there may be a very small part that's people who aren't going back to work because of the extra money. There's a part of the population that because of childcare, we've got a real problem with childcare right now. There's not enough operations available for people, for their children yet, post-COVID, who can't go back to the workforce. Some people are afraid because of COVID, not going back to their old job. But the largest part of it is people who, if you're a business thinking the federal minimum wage is actually the minimum wage, you don't understand the market. That's a 12-year-old minimum wage. And there's an effective minimum wage, that's the real minimum wage in any community, and then there's that $7.35 an hour. But we even knew pre-COVID that that was more like $10-11 an hour was the effective minimum wage out there. Right now, it's about $15 an hour. So you're finding that when people offer $15, they find people able to work. But that's just the reality of the situation that's out there. And taking away the help that some people who are in industries that have been devastated, if you work in the meeting industry, conventions and meetings, there's not going to be conventions and meetings yet for a while. Those people are still going to be out of work no matter what. It's not because they're lazy. It's because there's a wind-up period to have conventions and meetings. The same is true of restaurants and bars. The same is true of some venues that you're going to have. The same is true of tourism. So they're not really addressing the real problem. They're making a political point. But the political point is that they don't understand economics.
That's Mark Pocan. He's my congressman. I'm awfully proud of the man. Mark, got to tell you, Tony Evers today called for a special session of the Wisconsin State Assembly and Senate to deal with sort of a carrot being offered by the Biden administration to states like Wisconsin that have not expanded Medicaid. And it's a billion-dollar carrot, Mark, above and beyond the normal funding mechanisms. They're being encouraged, states like Wisconsin are being encouraged with a billion-dollar carrot, and Republicans here want to reject that carrot and sue the Biden administration so they can reappropriate appropriate other dollars. Mark, when do we get the billion-dollar switch?
This is one of the biggest examples of Republicans not understanding money or economics. They're going to give away over $1 billion of extra money that would come into Wisconsin that would help, I believe it's something like 90,000 additional people have health care, and would lower the cost of health care for everyone in Wisconsin if we would do this. They're willing to give all of that up so that they can be the most Trumpian state in the upper Midwest. Which, again, is a political point. It's not something that actually helps their constituents or the state or a state's economy. So it's completely irresponsible. Governor Evers, again, is doing the right thing. I think we did the right thing by helping to put this extra incentive out there. And, I think just it shows what happens when You have the Republicans continue to gerrymander a state like Wisconsin. They're not going to do things in the best interest of the people who live here, and they're going to do an awful lot to make sure that they get invited to, you know, some holiday party at Mar-a-Lago.
Mark, we've thought a lot about the redistricting that's coming here in the state of Wisconsin, and I'm quite hopeful, sir, that perhaps we will have a fair fight. And people sometimes forget, when you served in the Assembly back in 08, we had Democratic majorities in the Assembly, in the Senate, and the Governor's Mansion. In 2010, we got a whitewashing coming the other direction, a redwashing, and then they reconfigured the maps, and we've locked in these advantages for a decade. Mark, my understanding, the redistricting, you know, could be up against the clock, and the September deadline is not like the typical deadline when we get the census data in April. Well, Mark, do you have optimism that we're going to contest new maps here in the state of Wisconsin? Are we still going to be contesting elections using the Walker gerrymandered maps in 2022 and perhaps beyond?
So my best guess that I think is going to happen is you're going to have the Republicans gerrymander maps and put something out there that's going to be seen as extreme. The Democrats will put a set of maps out as well. The governor, to his credit, again, I think did a really smart thing by having this public commission, like some communities have, that draw maps. That'll go into the courts. But eventually this is going into the courts with a Republican gerrymandered map, a Democratic map, a citizen map. And hopefully at the end of the day, my past experience has been you get much more reasonable maps out of a court system than you will out of a Republican majority or a Democratic majority, for that matter, in the legislature. So my hopes are that we will have, districts that look much less gerrymandered than now. And I am hopeful. I think that, you know, you could put a lot of credit to this public commission. If they do a really good job and put very fair maps out there, that will have good standing in the courts. I believe if the courts turn out to be fair on this, and I think, you know, there's every reason that we have to hope that's what's going to happen. So I also am hopeful on this, but I think there's a lot of steps that are going to happen between now and then.
Mark, I know you got better insiders than we do. Do you think this ends up in the federal courts? Or are we stuck with the state courts and eventually the Wisconsin Supreme Court? We got like 1 minute left, Congressman.
Guessing the federal court.
Do you predicate that on any firm evidence, or can you give me anything other than just hopeful, wishful thinking, Mark?
Thoughts and prayers.
I believe that would be the path that would make the most sense, and I think that's most likely at this point. But, a lot's got to happen between now and when, you know, September, when we get the final data, and then we have to move, you know, quickly to do these maps. But it's going to be a wild and woolly ride.
Well, Mark, since I understand you spend the entirety of your time here in the district now, I hope you show up at our party June 15th at the Jade Monkey. You're certainly cordially invited. My Congressman, Mark Pocan, thank you so much for joining us on The Devils today, sir.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Mark.
Folks, if you are listening on AM 950, stick around. Matt McNeil is next. The rest of you, the 4 o'clock happy hour, the Wednesday edition is next. Scott Ross, a former Wisconsin elections commissioner or ethics commissioner, and then my senator, state senator, John Erpenbach. This show ain't done yet. Stick around.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.